We're going to begin with a quick overview of the laws of the blessing of Hagomel, and then we're going to go on to learning Igelet HaRambam, Bezrat Hashem, Igelet HaEman, and Teriyag Mitzvot this morning. To begin with, we have to familiarize ourselves with Tehillim chapter 107, Tehillim Perek Kuf Zayin. Let's just get the text here. So we're holding Tehillim, the 107th chapter. And this is the chapter that discusses thanking God for all kinds of things that God did for us. And the chapter begins, Tehillim Kuf Zayin, chapter 107. If you haven't found it, you can pass me your Tehillim, I'll try to find it. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 107. You got it? Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo. Give thanks to Hashem, He is good. And His kindness is forever, is everlasting. Who should give thanks to Hashem? Yomru gole Hashem, those that God redeemed, should say, Asher galam miyatzal, that He redeemed them from the hand of an adversary. Umeautzot ki bitzam, He gathered them from the different nations, mimizrach umimarav, from east, from west, mitzafon umiyam, from the north and the south. And now, Pasuk Dalit. We're holding the fourth verse in this chapter. Ta'uva midbar. They wandered. They were going aimlessly throughout the desert. Bishimon darech. In the wilderness, in a desert way. Ir moshav lo matzau. They didn't find any city with...
What would you say in a desert way?
It says Bamidbar. They were mistaken throughout the desert. Through the desert. Bishimon. In wilderness, in a place that is not inhabited, Darech, that meaning the Derech, the path was Yeshimon, was wiped out. So they went in a place where there was no set path. Ir Moshav lo matzav. They couldn't find a city where people were living. So this chapter is going to enumerate four different people that should give thanks, should give praise to Hashem. And it is from this chapter that we derive that these four people are obligated to bring a korban todah, a sacrifice of thanks to God. And it is these four people that have to make the blessing of Hagomel, thanking God for the kindness that He did to them. So the first one that the chapter enumerates are those that traveled through a desert. They traveled in a place where there was no set path. They traveled through a desert. Reivim gam tzmeim nafsham bahem titataf, hungry, thirsty, and their soul bent over within them. Vayitzaku l'Hashem batzar lahem, they yelled out to God when things were difficult for them. Mimtzukotehem yatzilem, and God saved them from their distress. Vayadrichem b'derech yishara, God guided them in a straight path. Lalechta liur moshav, to arrive at a city that was inhabited. Yodu l'Hashem chasdo, they will give thanks to Hashem for His kindness, for His mercy. Even if lotav livne adam, they'll recount His wondrous actions to mankind. Ki hisbia nefesh shokika, for God has satisfied the longing soul. The nefesh reiva milei tov, and the hungry soul God satiated with good. Pasuk Yod is going to give us the next type of person that we focus on, the next case of a person who should give thanks to Hashem. Till here we were describing those that traveled through desert. Now, Yoshevei Choshech V'Tzalmavet, those that sit in the darkness, in the shadow of death, Asirei Oni Uvarzel, bound in affliction and iron. Who are we talking about? Someone in bondage, someone in jail. Ki Himru Imrei Kel V'Atzat Elyon Niatzu. They rebelled against the word of Hashem. They found... God's plan in contempt, and God humbled their heart with work, with servitude. They stumbled, they had no help. They called out to Hashem in their troubles. The same verse, if you look up to Pasuk Vav, the sixth verse, you have the same verse. Each person, each one of these people that's stuck, that's in a difficult situation, calls out to Hashem, and God saves them from their distress. Yotziem mechoshech v'tzalmavet, God took them out from death and the dark and the shadow of death, from darkness and the shadow of death. Umosotehem yenatek, God undid their bondage. Yodu l'Hashem chasto, they'll give thanks to Hashem for His kindness. Uniflotav l'vnei Adam. Again, the same verse as Pasuk Ches, the 8th verse. They'll thank Hashem for His kindness. They'll recount His greatness, His glory to mankind. Kishibal daltot nechoshtu v'chevel zel gideh. For He broke brass gates and He cut the bars of iron. Now we're up to the third type of person that gives thanks to Hashem. Evilim miderech pisham. Those that were foolish because of their rebellious ways and because of their sins, they were afflicted. And this is a reference to someone who was made ill. So the Pasuk automatically attributes the fact that he became ill to the fact that he was not faithful to the way of Hashem. A person when he's ill, he abhors any kind of food. They found themselves near the gates of death. Again, they call out to Hashem in their trouble. And God saves them out of their distress. God sends His word, He heals them. And God redeems them. God helps them escape from their graves. Yodu l'Hashem chasdod, they give thanks to Hashem for His kindness. V'niflotav l'vnei Adam, and recount His glory to mankind. V'yizbichu zivchei todah, they bring offerings of thanks. V'yisaperu ma'asav berinah, and they'll recount His actions with joy, with singing. And now we're up to the fourth type of person who gives thanks, and that is yoldei hayam boniyot, those that go down to the sea in ships. Osem lacha b'mayim rabim, their work is with great waters. They saw God's actions, they saw God's wondrous things in the depths of the sea. Vayomer, God said, Vayamed ruach sara, and He stopped some kind of tornado, some kind of great stormy wind that endangered them out in sea. They saw that God saved them, things were dangerous in sea. Vatomim galav, and God stopped this wind that lifted up the waves. They were in a ship that went up to heaven, down to the depths, meaning the ship was shaking up and down. Nafsham biratit mogag, their soul melted in hunger. Biratit mogag, I'm sorry, their soul melted because of their troubles. Yachogu v'yanu kashiko, they were shooken and reeled back and forth like a drunkard. V'chol chokhmatam tibala, and all their wisdom was swallowed up. What's it worth to be a wise man if you're at sea at the mercy of the waves? They called out, they yelled to Hashem when things were difficult, when they were stuck, and God took them out of their distress. And then the chapter continues and discusses how people are supposed to recognize God's mercy and that God helps them and give thanks. So this chapter, the 107th chapter, Tehillim Kuf Zayin, is the source for the blessing of Agomel. Part of what God wants of the Jewish people of the world is to recognize that God is running the world. And we know this is one of the basic concepts in Judaism, Hashgacha Pratit, God is looking and God sees what we're doing. And we have a mitzvah that the Torah says, if things are tough, if there's a time of danger, so we have a mitzvah to daven. There's a discussion about whether the commandment to pray every day is biblical or rabbinic, Dorais or Drabanan. But everyone agrees that in time of danger, there is a biblical commandment to pray. We learned it a few weeks ago. V'chitavo milchama v'artzechem al atzar atzorer etchem. When there is a war, you're oppressed. So call out to Hashem, blow the trumpets. So if a person has been in a dangerous situation and came out of it alive, he's supposed to give thanks. He's supposed to recognize that God spared him. Now when the Beis HaMikdash was around, we would bring a korban toda, a toda sacrifice, a sacrifice of thanks. And that sacrifice would automatically have a lot of loaves of bread, which we'd have to eat within a day, a short amount of time. You can't finish 40 loaves of bread in a day. So you'd have to invite other people to your meals to help you finish the korban, and you tell them about what God did for you. Today we can't bring that sacrifice. We still have to thank Hashem. So we do this in the form of a blessing. And that blessing is, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the World, HaGomel L'Chayavim Tovot, who does acts of goodness, Tovot L'Chayavim, even for those that are not worthy, the sinful ones, Hagomel, who does, lechayavim, to the sinful ones, like chayav, tovot, good actions. God does good even to those that are sinful. Shegmalani kol tuv, that did for me, the one who's making the blessing says, meaning even I who am not worthy of it, all that is good. So when we hear this blessing in shul, we respond, mi amen, right? Mi shegmalcha kol tuv, whoever has done all forms of good to you, hu yigmolcha kol tuv sela, he should do all forms of good to you forever. Now, this response isn't critical. Let's say you're in a shul where people forget to respond. You're still yotze the bracha. Now, who makes this blessing? We said there are four cases. A person crossed the desert, a person got healed from an illness, a person crossed the sea, or a person got out of prison. These four instances, a person has to say this blessing. Now, it's not only these four instances, as we'll discuss in a minute. The custom is that we make it even after any dangerous situation. And we say, let's say a person got general anesthesia, right? So he was put out. After he gets back, he should make the blessing. Even if it wasn't necessarily a tremendous operation, but nonetheless, he was out. That's the equivalent of being ill. let's say a person went through an underground tunnel. He took the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, right? So there are opinions that say that that's considered being at sea. Here there are some that say that that's also you're in sea. Once upon a time, we didn't think it was so dangerous to take the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Ever since 9/11, the world's changed a little bit. Taking a plane ride, so...
doing those things isn't as dangerous as it used to be.
Right, it's for sure it isn't.
Day, like
right? Take a plane ride today, right. How many ships sink?
More people die with car accidents than...
That's true. But being that Chazal instituted it around this, so it's definitely true revolving around these. Their institution, even though today it's not as dangerous, when was the last time you heard of someone dying from the ship sinking? When was the last time you heard of someone dying because they went across the desert or taking a plane ride? Nonetheless, we recognize that there is some potential for danger. It's not the potential that once existed. Today it's much less, granted. But we... What?
99, I remember 99.
99 what?
99 in the year, there was a Swiss air machine which crashed.
Yeah, now, yesterday in Brazil, no?
Yeah, but the Swiss air machine I knew was
3 days later.
Okay, what?
3 days ago in Brazil.
Okay.
I was also landing.
Okay, so, bottom line, any plane ride. Many people don't know this. Some say only a plane ride that goes across the desert or across the sea. Rabbi Feinstein held that any time you board a plane, my father used to fly twice a week. So my father would have to make Gomel, according to Rabbi Feinstein, twice a week. Now, how do we make this blessing? When do we make the blessing? The blessing is supposed to be recited in front of 10 men, two of which should be learned people, people who know halachas. If they're rabbis, good, but it doesn't have to be rabbis. Let's say you live out in Kansas. You live out in Russia. You live somewhere where you can't really find a rabbi. Then you don't have to wait till you get a rabbi. You make the blessing when there are 10 men present.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
More people die with bicycle accident than with the airplane or with trains or with cars. So we have to make every 5 minutes one.
So no one's expanded it that much. It's true that if Chazal were living today, maybe they wouldn't institute it over these things. That could be. But once they've instituted it, so once we've had one of these things, we cross a desert, we cross the sea, we go on a plane, or a person is ill or in jail, then he makes the blessing, once he gets out of that situation, he makes the blessing of Agomel. But let's say one doesn't have a minion, so then he shouldn't make the blessing. It's unclear whether his blessing he's fulfilled his obligation. Does the person who's making the blessing count as one of the 10? That is also unclear, whether he counts as one of the 10 people that have to be present. Ordinarily, we have the custom to make the blessing after the Torah reading, after Kriyat HaTorah. Does someone want to go get? There's another bottle of Shoko. Want to go get in the office? Yeah, everyone. Okay. Everyone else in there. Yeah, you'll see it in a bang on the table. So we'll have to discuss that. There's different customs, Ashkenazi and Sephardi. How do we quantify that? So ordinarily we make this blessing after reading in the Torah. Even if a person is an Avel, so he can make the blessing. We don't have to get an Aliyah in order to make the blessing. Usually once the Gabbai knows you have to make the blessing of a Gomel, he'll give you an Aliyah. But that, you don't have to have an Aliyah. The idea is you're making it when there are 10 people present and 2 of them are learned people. Ordinarily when you read in the Torah, you're going to have 10 people present and 2 of them are going to be learned. So that's the custom is to say there, let's say you didn't get an Aliyah, you go up and you tell the Gabbai, I'd like to make the blessing of a Gomel. He'll clap on the bima and you'll make the blessing. It's a good idea to take a siddur with you. People very often forget different parts of the blessing when they're up there, so it's a good idea to have a siddur with you. So that's exactly what we're up to now. In order for one person to make this blessing for someone else, he also has to be obligated in the blessing. This is a blessing of thanks. So for blessings of thanks, we say that in order for one person to make it for someone else, he has to be obligated in it. Kiddush, even if I made Kiddush, I can make Kiddush for someone else who doesn't know. Same thing with benching. But this blessing, if I'm obligated, and there are another few people that are obligated, so then I can make it for them. And by the way, I never understood that. I don't understand why that works, but that's the halacha. Yeah. Otherwise, tell them, word by word, you'll say and he'll say. Let's say one person is obligated to make that gomel because he took a plane ride. And the next guy is obligated to make a gomel because he was sick. He was in bed for 3 days. So then it's unclear whether he can make it for him. Some say yes, some say no. That's unclear. Ideally, one should make the blessing within 3 days. Meaning, usually within 3 days you have Kriyat HaTorah. Right? If you land it on Sunday, you make it on Monday. You land it on Tuesday, so you make it on Thursday. Ideally, one should make it within the first 3 days after he became obligated. But let's say he didn't. There's no limit. You could still make it. Some say that it's only as long as the cause hasn't been forgotten. And let's say you remember, I have to make a gomel, but let's see, what was it for? I don't remember. So then the Aruch HaShulchan says you can't say you're still making a blessing of thanks on something you don't remember exactly what it was. So ideally we make it within the first 3 days as soon as possible, but that's not critical. Now, Sfardim have the custom that they make the blessing after any journey that was longer than a 72-minute walk. Meaning if a Sephardi goes to Tel Aviv, he'll make Agomel. So there are Sephardim that make every Monday and Thursday Agomel. That's their custom. Ashkenazim have the custom that we only say it after we've gone through desert or somewhere that was dangerous or a more serious illness for a Sephardi. If he had temperature and he was in bed one day, he's going to make the blessing. An Ashkenazi has to be either a serious illness or at least to be in bed for 3 days. Let's say a person was in a car accident, God forbid, or any other dangerous situation, so he makes the blessing. So if there was a potential for harm. What about women? So this issue really, the issue arises primarily when a woman gives birth. So here there are many different customs. Some have the custom that women don't say it at all. And that seems to have been the prevalent custom, at least in Ashkenazi circles, and no one really knows why. Some say the idea was that that they want to avoid her coming in public before 10 men, and there are opinions that this whole blessing isn't obligatory. So they just said in order to avoid that situation, which is uncomfortable, they don't make it. Others have a custom that women do it. 2 years ago, we had a siyum in my house, and my wife made a gomel from like around the corner. Some say that a woman should make the blessing before 10 women and 1 man. And some have the custom that women say it from behind the curtain. Many Sephardim have this custom that the woman lets the Gabbai know. And after Kriyat HaTorah, he says, quiet, there's a woman that has to make a gomel, and she makes it from behind the curtain. And some have the custom, just one second, that the husband makes the blessing for his wife. And then what you have to know, a lot of people have this custom that he makes it for her, but he should say it, Baruch Atah Hashem Kenu Mechlam Asher Gemalech, that made for you. Meaning, a lot of people say shegmalani, that God did for me good. What do you mean? It's my wife. It's half of me. But no, there is such an opinion. We don't really accept it in halacha. Ideally, one should say that did for you, and she should answer amen. Or he should say, if she's not around, shegamal leishti kol tuv, that did good for my wife. But a lot of people say he shouldn't make it for his wife, and it's therefore preferable not to use this opinion. But it happens to be that I've heard of many people that do this. Yeah, sorry. No problem.
For the opinion that you can have 10 women present and one man,
yeah.
What's the source for that? How would that help?
It's in the Mishnah Brura. Whatever I'm going to tell you is a guess. So I don't know. You can look it up. It's in the Mishnah Brura. We're just going to end with a few things to do after a dangerous situation. I think the first thing a person should do after a dangerous situation is ask himself how he got there. Sometimes people put their lives in danger unnecessarily, and if a person did that, then he has to do tshuva for that. We're not allowed to endanger our lives unnecessarily.
Fine.
So a person that comes out of the army should make a gomel. Now, what I'm not sure, I don't think after every day, but possibly after a serious mission, yeah? And possibly every time a person comes out of Miluim. And what I'm not sure about, I spoke to Rav Bigun and he wasn't sure either, what happens if a guy comes out for Regilah, he comes out for a weekend, and he's going back to the army after the weekend. So I'm not sure how that works. Rav Chaim David HaLevi, if I'm not mistaken, he writes that when you come out of the army, you make the blessing. But I think that if a person was in a dangerous mission or something, then afterwards he should make the blessing, but I didn't find enough sources on that, so I'm not sure.
I'd like to ask you something, but isn't that supposed to be everyone knows what the dangerous situation for a particular one? Let's say you just avoided a traffic accident that could be really dangerous for you. Should you say that or shouldn't you?
So a person once asked a rabbi in Telz, he said, I was supposed to get on a plane and the plane crashed, and because I missed the plane, I'm alive. Do I make a gomel? So the quote is that he answered him, no, because you weren't in a dangerous situation. God saved you from a dangerous situation, but it's not that you entered a dangerous situation and were saved. And the quote is that he said, if that were not the case, then any time your wife hung out your laundry, you would have to say a gomel, thank God that you weren't in there while she hung it. That's the quote. That it has to be that you're in a dangerous situation. Now, how do you quantify a dangerous situation? Almost a traffic accident.
Yes,
I don't think that's that was almost a dangerous situation. Being in a traffic accident, making it alive, is not a dangerous situation. So long as something didn't happen, the fact that it could have happened, I don't think that's a dangerous situation, but that's something we'll discuss at greater length. Bezrat Hashem, I hope next week we'll have a class on the blessing of Shasali Nes. There's a special blessing when one has a miracle. Person was standing in a place and a lion came charging at him, and God made it that the wall right next to him collapsed so he could jump over the wall, and he made it out alive. So that's a miracle. Walls don't just collapse like that. So then a person makes a blessing, Shasalines. This isn't talking about miracles, but over there we'll have a broader discussion about what constitutes a dangerous situation. After one gets out of a dangerous situation, one should give tzedakah, preferably to people who learn Torah. And one should, preferably, this isn't obligatory, but one should read the section of the Torah that describes the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering. Now, all of this you could find, everything we just said, including the reading of the section of the Torah about Korban Todah, in the end of the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam quotes that in his town there was a big fire and they were saved from it, even though the town burned down, they were saved from it. And so he put together this whole like little 2-3 pages about what to do when you're saved from a dangerous situation. So that's what he records on the end of the Chayei Adam. And one of the things he records there is how you read the parsha of Thanksgiving, the parsha of the Korban Todah. Any questions? Yeah.
Is it preferable you should give tzedakah to who?
People who learn Torah. It's always preferable to give them tzedakah, because there you're fulfilling two mitzvot. You're giving tzedakah and you're helping learn Torah.
So then I'm not giving the poor.
I meant the poor. And people who are learning Torah who are poor. But I'll tell you a little secret. Most people who learn Torah are poor. You don't have to worry about it. Okay. We're going